This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
All right, good to be with you on a Monday. Hope you had a great 4th of July weekend. Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne with you. Did not know the week I was out, Seth, that I would be coming back in on Monday and have a Jack Easterby audio cut on the Big Red Card.
When I looked in the show prep and I saw that you had this clip, I was kind of grateful because I knew I was being a bad professional, if that's indeed what I am. But I couldn't listen to this interview. I couldn't. I was like, this isn't what the forefathers wanted. Not on this Independence Day weekend. I can't do it. I can't dishonor America by listening to this Jack Easterby interview. So I kind of waited for the aggregators to maybe get some clips.
Yeah.
And I didn't really see anything scintillating coming out. Okay. So I'm like, all right, I skated by and I shirked my duties, but I avoided the Jack Easterby interview. Now back to reality.
This is funny now to me then. Okay, I like that backstory because you know who sent this interview to me? Seth Payne. So now I know. Now I know. Man, it's so good to be back. I missed you. But now I know that was sent to me like, hey, man. Because you sent that to me with no other text. It was just a Jack Easterby interview. And no other text.
Maybe a text. I was punting on third down on that one, man.
So what I know now, the parenthetical text to go along with that was, you listen to this. I ain't listening to this.
Yeah.
And I did.
I set you up with my ugly sister-in-law.
Dude, that makes you sending that to me so much funnier.
Great. Yeah, you'll have a great time. Yeah, I know. We can go double date together and everything.
Well, it's weird, too, because we love Ross, right? You know, we love Ross, and he's interviewing Jack Easterby, who is, you know, like, from the second he left here, it feels like everything has started to turn back into sunshine and roses again, you know?
Need to point out real quick that I don't have any ugly sister-in-laws.
No, so no
just,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Just
yeah.
In case, you know, they're listening. All listening.
That's,
and
right. That's right.
They're all hot as hell.
Mm-hmm.
Tell you what, for these damn morality. Yeah.
So Jack Easterby did an interview with Ross Tucker. It's about 20 minutes. And they talk about the Texans in the last few minutes. Honestly, this felt like an interview. It was one of those things like where at the end, like, so what are you up to now, Jack? And I'm like, okay, this feels like, it felt like a Radio Row interview a little bit from that standpoint. I'm not trying to like throw shade or anything like that. This was, Ross didn't really hold Jack Easterby's feet to the fire or anything in this interview over any of the peccadillos that went on while he was here. The one answer here that got Texan fans and anybody associated with the Texans, I would imagine, worked up or like, okay, rolling their eyes a little bit was, and you haven't listened to this obviously yet, Seth. This is a long cut, so maybe what we do is play that little game where if we feel like stopping it at times and
we have to pause when we hear BS.
Yes, yes.
Okay,
so
then this, keep a tally.
This is hope you got ink in that pen. Yeah. All right, this was Jack Easterby on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast last week. when he was asked, why were you so polarizing at your during your time with Houston?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think these cities love their teams, right? I mean, every city wants their team to be competing in January this time of year, right, for a championship. And so anything that is going on that potentially may be in between each city and their idea of success, they're going to scrutinize it. And that's a good thing because it shows the passion of each fan base. I think, you know, we were in Houston. There's a lot of transition. You know, there was just a lot of transition.
Okay, and I think so wait a second. All right, so he starts it off with fan sentiment.
Oh, yeah.
The fans are passionate about it.
And that's a
somehow.
Good thing, Seth. Yeah.
All right. So he's leading into somehow the fans are going to be the cause of all of this, which is really a shot at Cal and Hannah McNair, if anything. This is the kind of owners that are going to cave under unpopular fan sentiment or something.
So he be prepared. He's about to talk about all the transition that went on in the building. As if it were something he went and got some popcorn out of the cafeteria and just started watching all the transition take place.
As if he had just arrived, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that he wasn't a part of creating all of those transitions.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, here we go.
There was just a lot of transition. And I think naturally transition draws skepticism because it just doesn't always begat trust. It doesn't make people think, hey, this is what is going on. I can trust what's going on. You know, I mean, I was just talking about the Steelers earlier, and you think about, you know, the consistency over the years of their front offices, right? It makes you want to trust it. You know what it is. You know what to expect. You know what, you know, who's going to show up.
Okay. I call it BS because, yeah, we knew what to expect. Like, it was a litany of some of the worst deals that anybody's ever made.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you were the co-general manager.
Yeah.
And hiding behind a cloak of having an undefinable position or whatever it might be, to the point where a certain percentage of the actual fans bought your BS and would try to tell me, like, no, Seth, he's not actually all that involved. Meanwhile, you know, he's 100% involved. Bill O'Brien is telling us how involved he is.
Yep.
So the transitions that were happening at the time of his firing was the end result of a whole bunch of transitions that he actually sparked.
Yeah.
You know, so BS.
Yeah. Before we hit play again, that to me, like, as I go back and listen to that, and as the way you frame things, that might have been the most frustrating part of that era. That, like, Easterby got here in like April of 2019. And then was gone by 2022. O'Brien in the middle, like almost directly in the middle of that, gets fired. And now you're starting to go through a real teardown and rebuild and having to clean up all the mess. Is that, until they actually had titles, nobody had titles. It was the flat organizational structure. It's like, hey, what does Jack Easterby do? Everything. You know, it was like, and Bill O'Brien, we get asked about GM things, and he would demur to, like, no, I'm not a GM. It's all these other people. The lack of clarity. And I think I'm using this cut not to, like, throw the Texans under the bus. It was a bad time. Everybody knows that. It's to illustrate, one, that Jack Easterby is still making excuses for people out there in the public when it looks like clearly he's trying to get back into the NFL would be my guess. And number two, we do have clarity now. We know who the GM is. We know who the head coach is. You know, ownership is doing a better job. All those things.
That whole part of Jack Easterby not actually being all that involved compared to, you know, one player told me that it was weird because Easterby was always there.
Always.
You go to have a meeting with Bill O'Brien and Easterby sitting there in the corner taking notes.
Yeah.
Like, he was everywhere.
Yep.
So, yeah, there was transition, partly because, and this is where I think people are very grateful to Lovie Smith for winning the Colts game that ultimately gave the Texans C.J. Stroud.
Yeah.
I think when Lovie Smith got hired, it felt to me, just by being at events and stuff, like Easterby all of a sudden was very much marginalized.
Mm-hmm.
And it was only several months into Lovie Smith's, it was a half year into his tenure, midway through the season, that he ended up getting fired. That there was definitely some people that had seen all of Easterby's BS and were calling BS on it by the time he was let go.
Yeah, that is an interesting thought. Like, in this whole litany of things, it's not maybe draft night or hiring D'Amico Ryans. it's Lovie Smith deserves at least a thank you note or something
in this
whole thing.
Lovie Smith's been in the league a long time, been in a bunch of different teams, seen good coaches, bad coaches, all of that. He's a guy that you can tell by his beard that this guy can sniff out the BS.
Yes.
He's like a shark in that regard.
He is.
He can smell one particle of BS in a million parts of water.
That's right.
And he's going to zero in on it. So I've never seen anything reported or anything that Lovie Smith was part of it, but I think Lovie Smith could totally see and smell the BS with Jack Easterby.
And then in the middle of the Lovie Smith season is when Easterby gets let go. Man, how much more do we have left on this cut?
Almost 2 minutes.
Jeez.
Oh my God. All right, I'll hold off on the bell.
Okay.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Let's continue.
It makes you want to trust it. You know what it is. You know what to expect. You know what, who's going to show up in relationship to their top roles. And that obviously gives a lot of consistency and good vibes off to the city. And I think during my time in Houston, we had a lot of transition. In 2018, the owner transitioned. Bob passed away, and he was just such a great legacy for the city of Houston and sports, and I think made a tremendous, difference in Houston sports history by landing the Texans, by bringing them there. So when he transitions, that's a huge thing. And then obviously a lot of the staff members transitioned to the front office. And some of those, obviously, I knew well. Some of them I didn't know as well. So I think whenever you have a lot of transition, and then to your point, a unique background, I think that, when you're leading people, it's all about trying to get people unified around a mission, right? And then making sure that you can be effective and efficient in that mission. That's what it's about. And so I think
that you need that. Can I ding here?
Ding.
Bell's over. Yeah, hang on.
I got it. I got my bell.
Okay, cool. I got mine too.
I threw it against the wall, so it doesn't resonate as much as normal. Go ahead.
The whole thing there, like he's going from transition. He's like, he caused a lot of the transition. Like he's
right. And no, and everybody's got to have a vision. And that's what you're responsible for, is creating a vision that people can latch onto. And I'm glad he brought up the transition of Cal McNair taking over after Bob McNair passes away, because that's exactly when he was able to swoop in. And the whole, if you look at Easterby, it is a beautiful illustration of when people tell you that everything is sales. Yeah. And that, yes, everything is sales. And what you need to know about sales is that people very rarely actually make decisions based on the logic of things. Mm-hmm. They fall in love with what you're selling them.
Yep.
They fall in love with what your vision is. And Jack Easterby was a guy that had built himself up into almost an easy button when it comes to, like, oh, all of those human things and all of the personnel, like the personality side of things, the heart of the matter, the stuff that maybe Bill O'Brien lacks or that maybe an owner lacks. Jack Easterby is the easy button for all of this.
Yeah.
And he did it.
Yep.
He's a brilliant salesman.
Yeah.
I bet after this interview, Ross came away from it thinking, like, boy, I feel like this guy's gotten a bad rap. Yeah, I've gotten.
He might have. It was basically an interview about his, like, career biography.
Remember I had that hour-long conversation with Jack Easterby? It was during COVID. I was locked up in my place and just it was interesting because I've been around enough people like Jack Easterby by this point in my life that I know what to watch out for because I know how charming and effective they are. And it was like out of a textbook. It was like, oh, he found common, he complimented me a bunch, found some common ground, things that, you know, told me I had some very, I was saying some very insightful things. And you realize, you're like, I don't want to be a cynical D-bag here, but man, dude, you're following the handbook of how to manipulate
people. Did he bring up Jacksonville with you? Because he got his start in Jacksonville just like you did in the NFL.
No, I didn't. Yeah. The thing that was curiously on his resume for 3 years on the website that he was the assistant GM in Jacksonville before it was finally created. No, remember when Easterby came in and I said, something doesn't smell right about all of this. And I called up because I saw on the initial press report that he was assistant GM. So I called somebody up from Jacksonville who's been in the organization the entire time. And he was like, I'm so glad you called. I don't know who the hell this guy is. I don't know what he's talking about. No. He's like, this guy had to ask like three different people before somebody remembered Jack Easterby.
Guy who's a Heritage employee in the building, seen everybody, knows everybody, knew did not know who the hell Jack Easterby was.
Yes.
Oh my God. All right, and if the unifying thing is what made me hit the ding there, I'm like, that's the opposite of what you did, unifying people in the building. What are we talking about? All right, let's finish this thing out.
I think the unique background I had actually allowed me to do that well. It allowed me to get people unified around the Houston Texans.
Hit a buzz on that. You keep it playing, Ben. Just hit a buzz on that.
The foundation built for what they needed to become. Once all the other football things fell in place. But I think it was that transition piece. And then I also think, there was a lot of people that, quite frankly, we had to transition out of there. And so that was probably one of the other things I would say that was really hard for, people to understand on the outside. But fans love football, man. And so if they like, hey, this is in between me and where I want to be, there's going to be criticism, and justifiably so. That comes with it, right? I mean, that's just part of it.
So the fans got it. Fans got me fired.
Yeah.
I had to get rid of all sorts of people, and this transition was really just a bear of the whole thing.
Taking credit for laying the foundation is like, this is a classic
offensive
hallmark trait of Jack Easterby, is taking credit for things that he didn't do. Because we saw it firsthand when he took credit for something that I knew somebody on the Texans staff had like taken the initiative to do this one thing.
Yes.
And then Jack Easterby was telling everybody, like, yep, you see what
I
did?
What do you think, huh?
See what I did? Yeah. Boy, it's just an awful era in the sporting history of Houston.
It was. It's over. Thankfully, it's over. Man.
It was. No, honestly, it's one of the hardest things to deal with, because when you see it, when you watch it unfold, and I was like, enough people were trying to raise the alarm, but it just was going unlistened to. Because what happens with, I don't know if Jack Easterby is a sociopath, but this is something sociopaths are really good at.
Yeah.
They can warp everything to the point where the person who's trying to shed some light on it looks like the crazy person.
Yep.
Because he can contort his way out of anything, and he can make a lot of really good people who are going crazy watching something feel like they're the crazy ones, because every time they try to tell somebody, it's just met with blank stares. Because like, oh no, that couldn't possibly be true. And he's got an explanation for everything.
Yeah.
So it's really frustrating. And it's like, it's you end up just biding your time and waiting for the lies to collapse on top of themselves.
Yep.
Because they're so good at factionalizing people, pitting people against each other, and creating all of these things that distract you from what the dude is actually doing.
Well, this is ultimately how bad he was at it, is that he is getting no sniffs from anybody in the NFL right now. There are some really, really incompetent people around the NFL at the level Jack Easterby operated at with the Texans that get second chances all the time with other teams. And
he's from the Carolinas, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Or Georgia?
South Carolina, yeah.
South Carolina. You know who is in the Carolinas right now? Bill Belichick.
Right.
And Easterby started off in a college setting.
Yep.
Like that's where he started his whole shtick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Florio speculates about that a little bit. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, speculated. He wrote a piece about the Easterby interview with Ross Tucker and speculated because Easterby is from South Carolina. I think he's living in North Carolina now, Seth. So he's back in that area. And speculating that, boy, can you imagine? I mean, the drama that's already swirling around the whole Belichick, Jordan Hudson thing in North Carolina, and then you drop Jack Easterby, drop that Molotov cocktail into the whole thing. It's
Jack Easterby and Jordan Hudson as a power couple. No, you got a platonic power couple.
Platonic power couple, yeah.
Just kind of pulling the strings behind the curtains, except in front of the curtains.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I'm the one pulling the strings here. I want credit for this.
It's incredible, man. It's incredible. But it doesn't seem like he's getting a sniff from anybody in the NFL. So,
Well, when you see the way Belichick has kind of compromised himself by succumbing to the adoration of a younger woman and some of the weirdness that's ensued because of it. Yeah. You can see how he was kind of taken in by Jack Easterby.
Yeah, you know? A little bit.
Jack Easterby, the way everybody describes Jack Easterby at New England was like, oh boy, the players had all the trust in the world in him. And this is where everything didn't smell right from the very beginning for me. And then I shut up about it because nobody wanted to listen to me. I'd learned from dealing with sociopaths, you just got to shut up and bide your time. In New England, it was, oh, yeah, he gains the players' trust and confidence, but he's also a really good resource because he tells Belichick what the players are thinking. I'm like, dude, this dude's a snitch.
He's a rat.
And you guys, how are you this stupid that you don't see it?
They're a rat.
Okay, like the players, and there were players on the Texans like this who were too dumb to understand that they were being bought off with boom boxes and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like it was just all the cool stuff he was doing in the locker room and the music system and all that. Like, yeah, like he'll buy you off, and then he's going to go and tattle to the head coach everything you say to him.
Yeah. Oh, man. I'm glad it's over. Glad it's over. Glad we are where we are now. We are a little over 2 weeks away from training camp starting, so that's good. July 23rd, first practice. Can't wait for that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network.
Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out.
Every home run.
Gone.
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
All right, let's do some acknowledgments from over the weekend. A little acknowledge me action. We do that every Monday at about this time, at about 7:20. I texted Seth. Oh, let's explain for the newly indoctrinated. We get new listeners all the time. Acknowledge me is a way to acknowledge big performances from over the weekend or the week or in general. I'll read a name. Ben Gary, our producer, will play the Roman Reigns. Acknowledge me, and we will all acknowledge. In your car, listening on the app, we will acknowledge. Seth, I texted you over the weekend. I said, we could do the whole acknowledge me segment, just pull out the box score for Friday's game against the Dodgers and just read it if we want to. That was fun. Embarrassing the Dodgers 18-1 on the 4th of July, making their fans sit through that rout to get to watch their fireworks. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to acknowledge every Astro that either had a home run or had three hits in that game, or both in some cases. Isak Paredes, home run. Jake Myers, three hits, three runs scored. Jose Altuve, three hits, two home runs, five RBIs. And they were booing. Keep booing, man. Just keep booing.
Yeah. Oh, they're so stupid.
Just keep booing.
The Yankees fans at least have kind of learned, like, okay, nothing good comes of this.
Yeah.
But they just kept booing Altuve. Yep.
Yeah, man.
And goaded on by Oral Hershiser.
That's it.
That nerd.
Yes.
And there you go. Take your medicine. You've got injuries. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot about the four starting pitchers that the Astros have on the IL.
Yeah. Oh, and they're all star.
And Lance McCullers comes in. They cleared the weight room of any loose objects and what have you. Lance McCullers comes in, gives you six innings, takes one off the heel.
Yep.
I'm like, oh boy, took a hard hit off the heel off of Shohei Ohtani, which Mauricio Dubon ended up catching.
Yep.
But it was, take your medicine. Astros are dealing with stuff too, and they're not whining about it or making vague cheating accusations about it.
Damn right, man.
Idiots.
Damn right.
Enjoy your stupid fireworks.
We still got a couple more guys here. Christian Walker, four hits, four RBIs, a home run. I had no idea that Christian Walker was such a Dodger killer when the Astros signed him. But that was mentioned several times over the weekend, how he loves hitting in Dodger Stadium.
And he had home runs in seven of his last eight games there.
He's
just completely destroyed all kind of Dodger Stadium.
Yes.
That Dodgers loss was the worst one they've ever had in that stadium.
Yeah.
And then going back in the franchise history, I want to say it was like 1938 or something.
Man.
The last time they had a loss that bad.
That was on the 4th of July, right? Yeah, that was on Friday. So that was Amy and I went out to dinner, and then it was a long day at the beach. So we go back, we go get something to eat. We come back and we were listening or streaming the Astros game, I forget. But we lay down and I'm like, I'm going to take a little nap before we go out for the night. And when I kind of nodded off, it was like 4-1. And it was one of those things where when you're taking a nap, you kind of wake up like every 20 minutes or 25 minutes. It went from like 4-1 to 14-1. Amy's like, hey, the Astros are up 14-1 now. I'm like, what the hell? How long have I been asleep for?
I know. The other great thing about that game, too, was you end up only using two pitchers.
Yeah.
Jason Alexander finished the game out
with
three innings.
Yeah.
McCullers won six innings.
It was great.
And then also Zach Short.
Yeah,
I know, because he didn't get a home run, he didn't meet your list of acknowledgments.
Yeah.
But for a guy that's a 167 career hitter, right now with the Astros so far this season, hitting .667 with a 1,750 OPS.
Yeah, he had a great series, man. And in big spots, too. That bases-loaded walk yesterday was absolutely huge. Don't want to leave out Victor Caratini. Three hits, four RBIs. They all came on one swing, and this is what it sounded like.
Tarantini's guys one deep to right field. Has he done it twice on this road trip? He has! Second grand slam on the trip for Caratini. The Astros score four, and it's a 13-1 lead.
All right. So there we go. Two grannies for Victor Caratini during the week.
They've lifted themselves out of that ridiculously bad batting average they had with the bases loaded.
Yes. Yes, they have.
Yeah. I mean, I got to the point where I didn't dread when Zach Shortz got that walk for an RBI on the bases loaded. I wasn't entering that situation with that sense of dread.
Yep.
Victor Caratini has rescued me.
He squashed that whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know where they are now, but yeah, they've been much better with the bases loaded for sure. Let's give Lance a little acknowledgement too. We got a rough one before that Dodgers outing, but six innings pitched, one run, four strikeouts. Lance was solid. They're going to need him for sure. And I want a second acknowledgement for Jose Altuve, if I could. Passed Jeff Bagwell during the week, Seth, over the weekend for second all-time in hits as an Astro. So the countdown to 3,000 for Jose Altuve officially on. The last person he needs to catch in an Astros uniform on the all-time team hit list is Craig Biggio with 3,060.
You were on vacation when he got 3,000, obviously, but it was I don't know if you saw it. It was a beautiful bunt when he got 3,000.
When he
Bagwell. Tied Jeff Bagwell.
When he tied him. Yeah.
It was a beautiful bunt.
Oh, really?
It was gorgeous. Yeah. Okay. I feel like Bagwell would have appreciated that, you know?
Oh,
like
that
is old school. Bagwell will tell you any day of the week that bunts and squibbers to the infield to the short outfield are how you win games, not home runs.
I forgot about that. Those are the hits that win games. Like, all right, I guess.
Yeah, Altuve in this series hit 545.
Yeah, we 6 for 11. Yeah,
2208 OPS.
Yeah,
he was pretty good versus the Dodgers. Keep booing him, idiots.
Yep, that's right. And I like Bagwell. You know, Bagwell had some nice quotes when Altuve passed him on the all-time hits list about Altuve and stuff. I'm like, all right, this is the Bagwell. This is the Bagwell I want. I want the Bagwell who we remember for what a great player he is. And when big things happen, milestones happen with the current Astros, he's there to give a nice quote about it and make us feel good and think of the good old days. The one that's helping sign Jose Abreu, that's the one I don't need anymore. I think we're good. I think we're okay. I want to acknowledge a non-Astro real quick, Paul Skeens. Paul Skeens has one win in his last. Paul Skeens, the ace of the Pittsburgh Pirates. He is undoubtedly one of the best pitchers in baseball, without a doubt. He has one win in his last 13 starts for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Oh. Why would I acknowledge such subpar performance? Someone who's won in whatever in his last 13 starts. I don't know what his record is in those games, but they've only won. He has one win in his last 13 starts. His ERA is 1.72. To put that into context, he's got a better ERA than Hunter Brown in those better ERA than Hunter Brown has for the season in those 13 starts.
It's like a really sad version of that year that Verlander went. It felt like he went months without a win.
Yeah,
he was still pitching really well. He was getting no run support whatsoever.
Yes.
But the Astros were still winning, at least.
They were winning,
This is a very sad version of that.
It's a sad version. This is a nuclear version of that with no end in sight for Paul Skeens because he's under team control for like another 5 years.
And Framber had a little bit of the opposite of that. You know, Framber had one of his rougher outings, but they continue to just win consecutive games when he's pitching.
Yeah, man. Yep. So, Paul Skeens, we acknowledge you. We know you want to get the hell out of there ASAP.
I feel like Skeens is kind of an illustration of where we are in society with baseball, that it's become a very regionalized thing.
Yeah.
Except that Skeens, because his girlfriend is Libby Dunn,
yeah,
I feel gets way more notoriety for being a really good pitcher on a bad team than he otherwise would have.
Yeah.
Like there's a much better chance that Paul Skeens is recognized on the street outside of Pittsburgh just because somebody knows Libby Dunn.
I agree with that.
There's that celebrity duo.
Yep.
The Braxton Berrios dynamic,
with
I like
Alex
to call
Earl.
It.
Yep, I think so. D'Amico Ryans had a street named after him over the weekend, Seth, in his hometown of Bessemer, Alabama. How about that?
And again, I'm going to thank you for finding the audio because there was the local news station in Bessemer did on their YouTube had like a 45-minute basically just raw video of this process.
The whole ceremony?
Yeah, and I'm kind of like, I kept zoning out, and it was a bunch of community leaders. I don't know if any of them actually knew D'Amico. I was waiting for his high school football coach or something to get up. I'm glad you found this clip, because I zoned out during whenever this clip was played.
Here we go. This is the beginning of D'Amico's speech, right in the middle of the town there on the new D'Amico Ryan Street in Bessemer, Alabama.
I would like to start off just by saying thank you so much. What a humbling moment. What a memorable moment. You guys have definitely shown out, Big Bessemer. I guess I finally found a road to success. So I am incredibly honored and humbled as to have a street named after me. This recognition means more than words can express. Thank you to everyone here who made this possible.
That is pretty cool, man. And you're like in your home, I don't care how big or small your hometown is, they name a street after you.
Having a street named after you is pretty badass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that'd be number two on my list of things that, like, list of gestures that acknowledge me. Number one would be, I want a slot machine of me at the Golden Nugget or any casino. You know, you walk through and, oh, there's the Wizard of Oz slot machine. There's the Willy Wonka slot machine. Tillman has slot machines of himself in the Golden Nugget. I'm like, that would be badass to have a slot machine with my likeness on it, you know?
You should get a what street is your bar there on?
Lizards? Sackett Street.
Sackett Street?
Yeah.
I don't know what this Sackett dude did back in the day.
Good point, but Seth.
He probably didn't support the local economy like you do
on that
on
street.
Sackett Street.
On Sackett
that bar that you hang out across from the elementary school every day.
It's Lizards. Yeah, it's on Sackett Street. It's right.
Right. Yeah. You go and you sit out on the porch, and it's directly across from that elementary
it's
school.
It's next to an elementary school.
You sit and you drink across from the elementary school.
I sit and drink at a bar that happens
that's
to
across
be,
from an elementary school.
It's next to you're a jerk. That's it. Yeah.
Hey, kids. Here comes the blonde mom in a Bentley.
There are some good-looking moms that do pull up at the school. That is true. If that's where you were going with it, that's fine.
Yeah, that's where I was going with it. I don't know where your head is. I figured you were scoping out all the River Oaks rich women.
There's a long line that pulls up to that school. That is true. That is true. All right, last acknowledgement here. For acknowledge me, the Rockets, Hawks, Nets, Warriors, Lakers, Timberwolves, Suns, for all managing to stay awake long enough on whatever Zoom calls they were having to concoct a 7-team trade that ultimately is the deal that will bring that has brought Kevin Durant to the Houston Rockets. This is what makes me mad, Seth. As somebody who does written content for the Houston Press, oftentimes I'll do 4 biggest trades, 5 biggest trades, 6 most important trades. You know, you're looking for something, you know, you need a piece for today. Oh, God, I need something. I need some content. Oh, let's just do 4 most intriguing trades of the last 5 years, something like that. It's easy enough to write Deshaun Watson gets traded for 3 first-round picks and these other picks. It's easy to write, oh, the Texans trade this pick and that pick to move up and get Will Anderson. Are you telling me I got to write down this damn every detail of this 7-team trade? Now, anytime I write about the Kevin Durant trade, 7 teams.
Yeah. Good for you, Rafael Stone, and being part of a 7-team trade.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it puts you almost in the there's almost a damn quarter of the actual league was involved with it.
Yeah.
But it does feel like I feel like Rafael Stone has taken a lot of the analytical side that Daryl Morey was famous for, but really also understood the human side, maybe to a greater degree. And, you know, and credit Udoka with that.
100%, like, that's what I was going to say, yeah.
But I don't know how well Morey and Udoka would have jived when it came to some of the analytical decisions and what have you.
Yeah.
I think this Rockets team feels a lot more like the Astros in the way that they've been able to blend the personality with the analytics.
Yeah.
That you're just, there's certain things that you can't necessarily. There's just certain things that you can't measure yet, but you got to account for them.
I mean, I've seen this point made a lot over the last week or so, really since free agency started, and this is not to get too nerdy about the NBA, CBA, but if you listen to this show and other shows, you've heard this whole thing about this second apron over the cap.
Yeah.
That you and it is very restrictive. It is extremely rich. Like, once you hit that, and the Rockets aren't close to it, but a lot of teams are that have gone all in on certain guys. I think Phoenix is one of those teams. They had Bradley Beal, Devin Booker, and Kevin Durant as their big three. Didn't work. And now you got to tear it down. And so the one thing I've seen a lot of, like Bobby Marks, I think the former GM, I saw him say this on ESPN over the weekend, is that now with this second apron, you're committing to a group of guys where if it doesn't work out, you're out, is that you probably got to tear things down to some degree. You know, Denver's GM said that about their team a couple of weeks ago, where he's like, man, if we get one bad injury, we might have to be looking at trading Nikola Jokic just because we're not a contender anymore. You have to be able to identify leadership and guys that love basketball when you're working in that environment. If you all of a sudden, you get a guy like Bradley Beal who just likes to go out and score 20 points a night and then has a no-trade clause, you're screwed. And there's myriad of other examples of that. And I think that's where the chemistry and the human side of it that you just talked about, it's even bigger nowadays because of the way the CBA is, that once you commit to your big dollar guys, they better be big dollar guys that are coachable and love basketball. And I think that's what they've got with the Rockets.
There were, while you were gone, Chris Blanco, the assistant GM of the Texans, did an interview with Ari Myroff. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, and this is probably where things have settled in most sports with the analytics, is that now it's become such a part of it that the people know, you know, like when to lean into the numbers and when to sometimes be like, well, you know what, the old timers, they're not idiots. And like sometimes if the numbers don't match the eyeball test, that you got to go to the eyeballs.
Yes.
Like, okay, there's something wrong here.
Yep.
And I think that Caserio understands that part of it. Chris Blanco is interesting to listen to because he's the first thing he cited when he talked about what they're looking for, one of the big things he said was like an aggressiveness that shows up on film.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
Like, and I don't know. Maybe with the GPS data and everything, they can quantify that now. But a lot of that is just simply like, oh, that's a nasty dude.
That guy likes to hit.
That dude is nasty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
This will be our guy that gets suspended for unnecessary roughness this year.
Yeah.
That's why I can see D'Amico standing up on the third day of the draft and being like, guys, have we really drafted that many suspension-worthy players yet? Give me some guys that got some suspension in them, all right?
Yes. Yeah. We're lucky right now, man. All three teams run really well and run with a lot of the same principles, I think, too. All right, that's Acknowledge Me on a Monday. Good to be back. All right, I was totally joking yesterday. Let's stay on the Rockets for a minute. I was totally joking about a proposal that I had about the Rockets after they dropped videos of the departing players. They're going out in the trade. That if the Rockets win the title, they should do this. But apparently, to a lot of you out there, this is no joke. I will tell you what it is coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Hate doing cardio?
Try brushing and flossing your teeth.
I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards and which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.